down and two. Snap cup. Play fake bootleg near side. Cutler being chased. He's got a turfed in front of the feet of Matt Forte at the 28-yard line. Defended in the flat by the safety, George Iloka. And so it's a three and out for the Bears. They fail to convert on a pass on third and two from their own 28. One safety deep. Corners off the ball to second and 10 from midfield. Snap back at Cutler. Pocket starts to close and down he goes from the Bear 31-yard line. Shotgun snap is back. Bears rush four. Pressure coming late. Throwing over the middle. It's caught running away at the 10 to the 5. And into the end zone for the touchdown is Marvin Jones. Bears left to right. Snap is back. Bengals rush four. Over the middle. On the crosser right to left. Rashad Lawrence cannot hang on at the 29-yard line. And the Bears are going to have to punt the football. An I formation behind A.J. McCarron. Takes turns. Give to Jeremy Hill. Plugged up inside. Goes to the outside. Out of the step of Brock Vereen. He's in for a touchdown. And it's 20 to nothing Cincinnati.
I got 99 problems, but a ain't one. Hit me.
Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Chicago Football's Bears Podcast. I am Kevin Fishbane. My co-host is Arthur Arkish, our producer Dan Mott, associate producer John Solly. And Arthur, I think you and I could agree, we are like the trendiest people in the world. Podcasts are super trendy, so we had to get in the trend, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Whether we're trailblazers or not, I'm happy to be coming in a little bit late on this. I don't know if anyone's going to have better production and a cool mashup than we got from the top and Dan Mott there. So that's a pretty cool way to kick off the inaugural episode.
Yeah, let's, of course, highlights courtesy of 780 WBBM and 105.9 FM. That was Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. Quick rundown of the show. It will be every Tuesday during the NFL season. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and at chicagofootball.com. I am at K Fishbane, F-I-S-H-B-A-I-N. Arthur is at Arthur Arkish, A-R-K-U-S-H. We got three guests for our first show. Kyle Long, Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports, and Adam Hoag of WGN Radio. So big show. We're going to preview Thursday night's preseason opener. We're going to have a little fun as well in this show and talk about kind of some goofy things because we're hoping this show is going to be some analysis, some preview of Bears games, but also a lot of entertainment. And Arthur, you're going to hopefully provide some because you have a baby on your lap.
I guess we're going to divulge that information. Yeah, hopefully that will just be entertainment on this end and no distraction during the show. But so far, Spencer is cooperating. He has a bottle in mouth, so that's a good start.
Well, I know Spencer was really fussy because he was bummed Tim Jennings got cut yesterday. We are taping this Tuesday, by the way. And Ryan Mundy got placed on injured reserve. So that brings us into our news and notes section of the show. Bears cut down to 75 players by Tuesday afternoon. Sonoris Perry went to injured reserve. We could touch on that. They picked up Zach Dysert, not to be confused with Zach Dessert, who played with John Fox and Adam Gase. But I want to talk about the secondary, Arthur, because I think the Jennings and Mundy moves were the biggest and maybe most surprising of the preseason. And you look at this Bears team right now, I have a lot of questions about the secondary. Questions, of course, John Fox probably won't give me a direct answer to, so I'll ask you to help me out with these question marks.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I guess the Ryan Mundy news is a surprise because like every other Bear, every other injured Bear, he was listed as day-to-day, and suddenly he's on injured reserve with what is obviously a serious hip surgery. So a little bit of a surprise there, and certainly a loss of experience in both the back end of the secondary and on special teams. Tim Jennings, I think we both saw this coming. I know Tim said he saw it coming. The writing was on the wall when new brass came in and wanted to get bigger at the cornerback position. So Jennings was a little bit behind the eight ball to begin with, coming off the surgery and the legal trouble in the offseason. But, you know, that's a respected voice in the locker room and a known playmaker, at least up until last season. So the Bears, I can't say they're going young per se. They still got Alan Ball and Tracy Porter in the mix. Those are veterans. But going in a different direction, going in a bigger direction, to be sure. Right, Kevin?
Well, Arthur, not only did you bring a baby into the studio, but you also obviously have a dog in the studio as well. But yeah, I mean, we're going to be talking about the secondary a lot, and it's going to be interesting to have two guys that we expected to be there not there anymore for a team that has some question marks about its number one secondary player, Kyle Fuller, which we could, of course, get to at some point. So Thursday's the preseason finale. The Bears have to cut down to 53 players by Saturday. And Arthur and I are going to talk about, kind of go through some roster projections. But before that, Hub Arcus. So every week we're going to get Hub's take. We're going to get a couple Hub's takes each week from the man, the myth, the legend, Hub Arcus, who has covered the NFL for, what is it now, 80 years now, Arthur? He's been covering the game. He can't hear this right now, so that's okay. I'm sure when he downloads it, he'll come after me for it. But we got Hub's take kind of previewing the Bears season and recapping what we learned in the preseason.
All righty, guys. So all you want is for me to update the entire off-season, preseason, training camp as the Bears get ready for 2015 in a minute or so. Well, we'll see what we can do. Let's start with the good news, bad news story. The good news, Jay Cutler's had a very good camp. Now, he doesn't have any healthy receivers other than Martellus Bennett, so how much good that's going to do us remains to be seen. But Cutler has looked good. Marty Bennett has looked good. The Bears appear very deep at running back. Jaquizz Rodgers has won me over. Jeremy Langford may be a star in this league, and Matt Forte looks fine. Problems are on the offensive line, not only at right tackle, where they have really no starter right now, but at left tackle, where Jermon Bushrod continues to look banged up. Defensively, there's not a lot of good news. The early hype out of training camp was, hey, we got Shane McClellan and Christian Jones at the inside linebacker spots. Neither one looks ready right now. Jeremiah Ratliff will be suspended the first three games, plus he's got a bad foot injury. Eddie Goldman looks like the real thing. Got to be happy about that. Adrian Amos has got that safety job by attrition more than anything else. We'll see if he can really play it. And at cornerback, it's all new now with Tim Jennings gone. Kyle Fuller has not had a great training camp. He's the guy they're counting on to lead that secondary Antrell role. Let's hope he can pick up the pace, because he's looked about a half a step slow in the preseason. It hasn't been a great training camp for the Bears, but hopefully the best is yet to come when the regular season starts.
Okay, not to say Hub's wrong in any of that. I agree with everything, but for those of you who don't know, Hub and Arthur are related. And Arthur, you didn't necessarily get the pessimism gene from your father there, did you?
No. I think there are some positives that we could kind of glean from what we've seen thus far. And I'll leave that part up to Hub. There's a lot of things that he didn't get to, obviously, and wasn't able to in just a minute. But there have been, I think, some pleasant surprises. The defensive line, I think the depth is going to be an issue. But I think you've had some really solid performers there, even in spite of, obviously, the Jeremiah Ratliff suspension, the Eddie Goldman concussion that just occurred this past weekend. Still some positives there. He didn't talk much about the outside linebacker, so there are going to be some strengths, but there's just a lot of questions to answer. There's always going to be in the first year of, like it or not, what is a rebuild here. I don't think we should try and kind of sugarcoat that very much.
Well, you know, this is our first show, so in addition to breaking down the Bears like no one else can, we also want to give Hub a hard time like no one else can with some jokes here or there. Let's talk 53-man roster. And Arthur, you and I talked earlier today. The Bears are not going to necessarily have a 53-man roster of 53 Bears they had in camp. We already know that because they claimed two players off waivers today that they could make the team. So and they could claim more guys on Sunday that will be on the team Monday. That's what David Bass was a couple years ago. So we'll go position by position. So I wasn't going to talk about quarterback because it's going to be Cutler and Clausen. Now you got Clausen with a concussion. They bring in Zach Dysart. They have David Fales. That suddenly becomes kind of a weird position. And if Clausen's healthy, it's fine. I think they keep to put one in the practice squad. How do you have that position shaking out?
Yeah, I would agree with you, but I think it's obvious. Zach Dysart is their guy. John Fox, Adam Gase drafted him in Denver in 2013. Granted, it was a seventh round pick, but it was someone they were able to go through the evaluation process and kind of settle on. Whereas they've obviously inherited David Fales. They, picked up Shane Carden, who has since been released as an undrafted rookie. That wasn't going to work. So I'd have to say immediately that Dysart has a leg up on Fales for that number three job. He's a better fit for what Adam Gase wants to do. He's got more size, and frankly, I believe he has more natural ability than David Fales, but that's not to say there won't still be a competition occurring there.
Yeah, and for those of fans that get to pay full price on Thursday night, they can watch David Fales and Zach Dysart at Soldier Field against the Cleveland Browns. Running back, I think they're going to keep three or four. Kadeem Carey, doors open for him now that Sonoris Perry's on IR, but Carey does not provide the special teams value that Sonoris Perry did. Let's briefly touch on wide receiver, tight end. Wide receiver, if Jeffrey Royal and Wilson aren't ready to go, you have to keep not only Mark Mariani and Josh Bellamy, but maybe Rashad Lawrence. and maybe they claim somebody else or Cameron Meredith. I mean, you got to have extra guys there because there's no nobody has any idea how long these guys are going to be out.
Yeah, if that's exactly right. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey, we're going on 3 weeks since he suffered an injury in practice to his calf, so who knows what's going on there. As we mentioned earlier, Ryan Mundy was day-to-day and is now on injured reserve. Kevin White was day-to-day and now on the PUP list. So I don't think there's a lot of real reason for optimism on Alshon Jeffrey, and unfortunately, I don't see a lot of optimism with the backup options either. I would say that 1A and 1B in terms of positions that I would expect to be addressed here in the next week on the waiver wire our offensive tackle and wide receiver. So you mentioned Cameron Meredith. He's done some nice things. He's got some good size. I think more recently, this Ife Umodu has made some plays in practice, had the big punt return, punt block return for a touchdown. He does have some nice size and athletic traits, but it's just clear none of these kids are ready. They're the kind of guys you want to groom for potential end of the roster spots, not guys that are going to be pressed into action early if you're missing guys like Royal and Jeffrey.
You know, in the way we talk about wide receiver, I think you could say the same thing. You mentioned offensive tackle. I think suddenly safety is a position they could bring somebody in extra because they need a fourth safety, and it might be Anthony Jefferson. It could be Sherrod Martin, but I think that's a place they're going to look elsewhere. Cornerback, if they want to add somebody there. You know, they have options. Defensive line, remember Jeremiah Ratliff's out the first 3 weeks, so it's a place they could add somebody off waivers. Let's wrap up kind of talking about the roster here with linebacker. So I think we know that the following guys are making the team. Pernell McPhee, Jared Allen, Shea McClellan, Christian Jones, Lamar Houston. I'm going to put Sam Macho as a lock because of what he brings to special teams. And then my bubble guys are Willie Young, David Bass, and John Timu, along with John Bostic. So those four guys, if you agree with my six locks, how do you see it shaking out for Timu, Bass, Young, Bostic, and maybe somebody I forgot to mention?
I do agree with your guys. I will just say Sam Macho, I think strictly off talent and off experience, he's a roster lock, but I just don't know with all these injuries. He's missed practice. Reportedly, it was with an illness today. Not reportedly. I heard John Fox say that, and he was dealing with an injury last week. So we have to get some more information there, but he's definitely been one of the best playmakers on the defense throughout training camp. So outside of that, you didn't mention Mason Foster. I don't know if that's because he hasn't done enough to impress. Frankly, he hasn't done enough to impress me, but I think the overall body of work, and he did have his best game, I felt, in Cincinnati. So maybe he has kind of pushed his way into that inside linebacker competition. But John Bostic showed some improvement. Willie Young showed some improvement. John Timu is a guy who has definitely flashed playmaking ability and also has shown, I think he led all the Bears in special teams snaps in Cincinnati, so that would seem to be a good sign in the third preseason game. But I think we can probably both agree that there's not going to be a tougher spot on the roster to make decisions than, well, if you want to put together, you clump together inside and outside linebacker. Willie Young is a guy who has made tremendous strides less than 10 months removed from the, you know, the ruptured Achilles. But he's owed $2.5 million. The Bears aren't on the books for any of that now. So are you going to pay him to watch him continue to progress, or do you feel like he can help right away? I've been encouraged by what I've seen, but I'm not sure there's a trickier decision for Ryan Pace and John Fox on the entire roster, particularly considering this may be the deepest position on the roster.
And I actually just completely forgot about Mason Foster. No offense, Mason. I'm sure you're listening. And you know, I saw you make a nice play today at practice, actually. Almost picked off a pass. So just wanted to make sure it's out there. We briefly talked about offensive tackle. And the big story of the week is the Bears don't really have a good option at right tackle. Kyle Long, maybe does he move over there? Arthur, we'll talk about that later. I got a chance to talk to Kyle Long today after practice, and I did not ask him any questions about playing right tackle. These are the types of player interviews we hope you will get to hear on the Chicago Football Bears podcast. Here's my interview from after Tuesday's practice with two-time Pro Bowler Kyle Long.
All right, joining us on the first ever Chicago Football Bears podcast is two-time Pro Bowl guard Kyle Long. The most important question, Kyle, how honored are you to be the first guest on this podcast?
Fish, it's a tremendous opportunity and blessing for me to be able to come on here with you. I mean, I know you're, you know, in pop culture, in terms of pop culture, you're a very trendy topic, and people are always trying to get in and hear what you have to say, so I'm excited about this.
Well, we really just follow you when it comes to pop culture, but is this going to be the next serial? We don't know. Time will tell. We'll start with some football questions. run the ball. This is team is about run the ball. And is it fun to actually not just say it, but actually do it and have a team that is committed to doing it?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and it takes pressure off a lot of other spots when we're able to run the ball. We didn't have a great showing against Cincinnati, and that falls on our shoulders, the offensive line. And I think that's been communicated throughout our locker room by us. Heavy lies ahead that wears the crown. And if we want to be that group, if we want to be those guys, we have to produce every week. We have to be consistent. You can't just roll out of bed and kick somebody's butt. You know, you have to practice the right way. You have to prepare the right way in the meeting rooms, and that translates onto the field.
What's something that you really take to about Coach Magazoo? What's something about his coaching that you've really kind of enjoyed over the past few months?
Well, first off, I really get along with the guy. I mean, Mags is, he reminds me of, he could be a relative of mine almost, Northeast. He's from Massachusetts, Italian guy. So I get both sides of my family there. And then he's very honest. He's brutally honest. And he has a sense of humor. So it's, he can keep it light. There's never too high of a high and never too low of a low. He's very consistent.
Now, I've heard Ryan Pace a few weeks ago say that Mags has some nicknames for you guys,
yeah.
And some of them are PC or safe for work, some of them aren't. Can you tell me maybe one that is safe for work that's a good nickname of one of your teammates?
Well, Hieronis Grasso, so you can't pronounce his name, so we call him Duck.
Oh, okay. That'll work.
We always called Bushrod Bush, but he calls him Rod. We call Slauson Slauson, and he calls him Matt.
So does he do this because...
Because he can.
Okay. So does he... I don't know if he's, doing it to goof around with you guys, or that's just
mine's
how
he is. Mine's Wing Nut,
okay.
Along with a few other ones that can't be repeated.
Right. Well, when this podcast... We're eventually going to get explicit language on here, so when I get you in week seven,
okay,
we can
great.
Maybe...
Week seven, I'll be able to dish out all the nicknames.
Let out all the nicknames. Vic Fangio's defense. Before I get to Vic in a second, what's it like going against a 3-4 every day in practice? How does that help you as a guard?
It's nightmarish. Vic is, he's like a sociopath. He just wants to crush our offense every day, and he brings stuff from different spaces, different spots, and pressures, coverages. He does a really great job. It's a big change from playing against Mel's cover two, which was pretty, pretty basic in terms of when you line up against it every day,
right.
You've seen it. So Vic presents new issues every day, and it's a, it's a struggle to stay on top of it.
Next question about Vic. Is it true, can you confirm he was sent here from a time machine from Vince Lombardi's 1968 Packers?
Yeah, I think he really was. And I think they hadn't invented sweatpants back then because,
yeah.
If you notice, he only wears sweatpants
I was
now.
Worried about him at practice today. Did
yeah.
you think about just giving him some water?
I just want to help him out. And he never sweats through his grays. He's just always super cool. I said, aren't you hot? He goes, I'm Italian. I'm cool. That's what he said yesterday.
That works because I watch him out here, and I'm worried that I need to go run out there and dump a bottle, a bucket of ice.
Who's
over
got
his
that
head?
Line ready? I mean, I'm Italian.
Exactly.
I'm cool.
He's done it for a while. He's
yeah.
probably been asked it before.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk kind of big picture NFL for a second and Bears too. What is our question we're talking about on the podcast later today? What's been the most overblown story by the media this summer? And it could be Bears. It could be football.
There's
you
some,
don't think it's controversial, but
not controversial,
yeah.
but oh man, there's
Deflategate's the easy one.
Well, Deflategate, yeah, I mean everybody wants to talk about Deflategate. I've never touched a football
right.
in my life, so I wouldn't be able to speak on that topic.
The reason I don't want to say Deflategate, it is an important story because the Tom Brady suspended, so it's
all
hard
these
to say
all these one-handed backflip catches.
Okay, yeah.
J.J. Watt slap shots.
Yes.
But I mean, the guy can do everything, so.
Right.
He jumps 100 inches onto a freaking board, and then he's,
Have you watched Hard Knocks at all this year?
No, I can't watch Hard Knocks. I can't do it.
So then back...
I live Hard Knocks.
That's true. Because people complain that J.J. Watt's on there too much.
Well,
what
when you...
J.J.
He's
Watt?
Larger... I mean, he really is larger than life in
right.
terms of on the field and off the field. He's a guy that really gets it, and, more power to him.
I thought you were going to say the most overblown story is talking about Kyle Long and what position he's going to play, but we can save
no.
that for another
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other question that we're trying to decide today on the podcast, best beard on the team. Who's got the best
okay,
beard?
Well, Slauson has a big-time head start,
so that's,
but I'm well on my way to claiming this throne.
So that's what I was trying to figure out. He's got, the lumberjack thing going.
Yeah.
For those who haven't seen Slauson, it's long.
Yeah, stringy,
there's a lot
long
going on,
and
but
stringy.
Then, Jeremiah's got, it's like well coiffed. It's very.
Jeremiah has a very, very well manicured beard. Yeah. And I think he's done a great job with it. And, you know, it's kind of his look.
And then Mundy came into camp. That came out of nowhere.
And he wanted to be clear that he wasn't going for the James Harden look.
Okay.
That's what he said.
Ooh. Well, it's similar.
Yeah. Well,
where would I rank? Am I like in the teens?
Well, you're getting there. I mean, yeah, you got full coverage there.
There's, yeah. I can't let it get too long. It gets itchy. I don't know how Slauson does it. I know how his wife does it.
Yeah.
You're not, deal with that.
Yeah, I mean.
But that's.
I don't know how his wife deals with him anyway. Slauson's such a madman, so.
All right. Just two more for you, Kyle. Who is, if you were to tell a Bears fan, follow this person on Twitter, who would you tell them?
Wolf.
It doesn't have to be a Bears play necessarily, but they are a Bears fan. You know that going in.
Bears fan.
Would you say Kristen?
No. I'd probably say, gosh, man, there's some good follows out there. Mason Foster is a sleeper.
He's good, yeah.
He's got a good Twitter.
And he's very interactive with the fans.
Very
like
interactive.
Well. That's good for fans like that.
I'd say Mason Foster. And, you know, you got to shoot me a follow if you haven't already. A little self-plug there.
If in your prime, could you strike out Kyle Schwarber?
Oh, man, he's been ripping it. Oh, gosh, I don't know. How many ABs does he get? How many opportunities do I have?
Okay, so let's say you're the starting pitcher, so we'll give him three at bats.
Three at bats?
Check him out.
I think I can get a put out. I don't know if I can get a strikeout.
Yeah, well,
I'd make him work for it, though.
Okay, well, I assume in your contract you probably can't go out there and do it this time around, but we'll get you out there maybe over the spring.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll get a spring training call up or something.
See what you can do. All right, well, that was Kyle Long joining us on the podcast. For those of you who don't know, he's the one that Hub Arker said might not be the best pick in the first round, but we like to poke fun at Hub for that. Kyle, yeah. Thanks so much for joining
us.
Well, Arthur, as I said, we do like to poke fun at Hub at the show, and nobody regrets that more than Hub, because he's talked many times about how important Kyle Long is to his team. He's a leader. He's probably the best player on the team when you consider what he is at his position, and he's obviously a fun guy. So I have to ask you, do you agree with our discussion about best beards on the Bears?
Oh, I thought you should have been a little bit higher up in terms of the Bears beat than in the teens. But aside from that, it's kind of – I was impressed with Mundy's beard game reporting to Bourbonnais, but Slauson is pretty tough to top right now. And then, of course, he's sporting a little bit of a balder look than we're used to. So he's got kind of a disproportionate hair thing going. But it's a long season. Who knows? I don't know if we'll be talking about playoff beards per se, but no reason to say that a lot of other guys won't be able to get in the mix before it's all said and done, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if he could have struck out Schwarber, but – I wouldn't want to stand in the plate when Kyle Long was, you know, at his prime, throwing heat. That sounds terrifying.
How imposing. I mean, that is pretty scary stuff. Everyone knows Kyle Long is an athletic freak, and he is a big dude. He's considered very big by offensive guard standards, and that would certainly extend to being up there on the bump. I wouldn't want to get anywhere near him.
All right, well, we're going to head out to the phone lines for another interview. We're joined now by Bears beatman Adam Hoge for WGN Radio, WGNRadio.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. If you are a Bears fan and you're not following Adam Hoge, then you're probably not really a Bears fan because he covers his team very well. Hello, Adam. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
So we'll open with the most important stuff. Arthur and I were just discussing my conversation with Kyle Long over who is the best beard on the Bears. And it's kind of a question, can you go against Matt Slauson?
No, I don't think so. I think it's Matt Slauson and then everybody else in that kind of competition. No question.
So we got the beard out of the way, and the other thing we talked about with Kyle was most kind of overblown story, and I kind of kidded with him that I think one of the more overblown stories was everyone talking about Kyle Long playing tackle, but here we are, and he might actually have to play it. So what do you think is yours? I mean, we're in the media, so we can kind of poke fun of ourselves. Most overblown story.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I would put that there too. And early in camp, I probably would have said the Kevin White injury. But then the way that turned out, it turned out to be the biggest story at camp. So, you know, I think it's to me, it's probably this continuous daily discussion about Jay Cutler when I think on this team right now, with all the question marks they have everywhere, he is way down your list of issues at this point. So I think that there's plenty of other positions. Not that Jay Cutler isn't a question coming into the season. He obviously didn't have that good of a year last year, but I just think there's so many other issues right now on this team that continuing to talk about Jay Cutler is almost a waste of time at this point.
Adam, we know there's plenty of issues for sure. It's a good segue, though. What kind of really jumps out at you? We've had the first round of roster cutdowns, still more to come, probably more waiver acquisitions to come as well. But what's kind of like a flashing red light for you right now for John Fox and his staff that needs to be addressed here in about the next 10 days before they host the Packers?
Well, for me, it's the offensive line. I think that really showed up in Cincinnati over the weekend as a legitimate problem, when I didn't necessarily consider the O-line to be that big of an issue coming into training camp. In fact, I thought it would be better because you got guys back healthy. Jermon Bushrod was supposed to be healthy again. Jordan Mills was supposed to be as healthy as he has been since his rookie year, when he at least showed a little bit of promise. And you brought in a new center, Will Montgomery, who's been in the league a long time. But the idea there was that you're actually getting a little bit healthier and younger from what Roberto Garza was giving you the last couple of years. So, and Matt Slauson obviously missed the second half of last season. So that was supposed to be a strength. And right now, I think it was pretty evident in Cincinnati that at least at the tackle positions, you don't have a whole lot of reliability right now. Jermon Bushrod's dealing with a back injury that seems to be affecting his play. And Jordan Mills and Charles Leno just aren't getting it done at right tackle. So, you know, whether or not they move Kyle, if you move Kyle Long there, that might fix one spot. But then is Vladimir Dukas a reliable option at right guard? You might be creating another problem there by fixing one. So this is, and there's not a whole lot of depth behind these guys either. So to me, that's a big issue.
Yeah, and I've gone on record and said, not that I really need to go on record, I am in the media, but this team, I still think they could put up points. Obviously, you need the receivers healthy, but I guess I didn't expect the offensive line to look as shaky as it has. But Adam, I know you're probably crunching the numbers, playing with your color-coded spreadsheet with the roster, and Arthur and I were talking earlier, we know that it's kind of unfair to actually project a 53-man roster because there's going to be waiver claims. There's going to be guys we haven't seen before, like a Zach Dysart who was added today. Is there a guy that's at least been in camp or been with the Bears this preseason that might surprise folks and could make the team?
Ooh, a surprise to make the team. You know, I would maybe say a guy like John Timu, possibly, linebacker, just because I wonder how the Bears look at that backup situation in terms of special teams. Can John Bostic give you what you need in terms of a reliable backup linebacker and a guy who's he's got to be healthy, right, to play every week on special teams? And right now that continues to be an issue. He's suffered an ankle injury in Cincinnati. So that could potentially be a surprise kind of guy who makes the team, right? Beyond that, I feel like some of our questions were answered this week with seeing Tim Jennings get cut, which was a little bit of a surprise. I think that told us that Terrence Mitchell's probably making this team, and that's somebody who's come on strong during training camp as someone who not only, you know, that if you said at the end of July when camp started, would Terrence Mitchell make the team? But this guy might actually contribute and be an okay player for you as well.
Adam, I agree that there's some interesting competition that will unfold. John Timu is interesting in particular. I have to ask, though, Ryan Mundy going to injured reserve. The Bears fans know too well about the issues at safety over the past several years. Antrell Roll, what has been your early assessment? Is he a savvy veteran who knows what he needs to show in the preseason, or do we have a greater concern here? And then the second part, rookie Adrian Amos, has he been pushed up by necessity with the Mundy injury, or do you think Adrian Amos may be ready to be on the field as a starter in week one?
Well, I think Amos started as sort of necessity. I mean, I don't know that they had any other option, but I will say that he's looked okay when he's been out there. So, you know, at this point, looking at their depth at safety, which is not a whole lot. He looks like he should be starting now that Ryan Mundy is on IR. Now, if Mundy had been healthy and ready to go, I probably would have sided with Mundy myself over the rookie fifth-round draft pick out of Penn State and Amos. But, you know, that's not an option right now. So I think Amos is definitely, with compared to what else is on this roster, worthy of starting. As far as Antrell role goes, I think that's a huge question that will get answered week one when he faces Aaron Rodgers, because he's looked slow in some of these games. He's also looked like he's not all that interested, though, in some of these games, given that it's the preseason. So I think that was more the case than the 31-yard touchdown that the Bengals scored the other night in Cincinnati. And so will he step his game up a little bit more in the regular season? My guess is yes, but you still got to factor in the age and wonder how much he really has left. And if he gets hurt, it's going to be kind of a tough situation at safety. As we talk about some waiver claims and some other, you know, I don't know, you talk about trades, things like that, I wouldn't be surprised to see another safety added in the next 12 days before the season opener.
Wow, shocking. The Bears are entering a season with question marks at safety. I feel like I've been here before. Adam Hoge is joining us now from WGN Radio, and I'd be remiss, Hoge, if I didn't mention that you're also the sideline reporter for the Northwestern Wildcats football team this season, your first season on the Ryan Field sidelines. So you'll get to experience what I experience every Saturday. They start to win, and then they lose, and it's very heartbreaking. So good luck with that. And
thanks. You sound very confident.
Oh, I'm always very confident. I will leave you. I'm going to put you on the spot because Arthur and I are going to chat some NFL in general. Do you have a Super Bowl pick? And if you don't, make one now and tell our listeners.
Wow, I don't have one, so I haven't given very much thought to this. However, I will immediately eliminate the Bears from that conversation. I think it's hard to go against. I think it's hard to go against the Packers right now, to be honest. I mean, I think that's a pretty good team. I think, without looking into it too much, obviously you lose Jordy Nelson and that hurts, but they got other options and they have the best quarterback in football. So. I'll if you're putting me on the spot right now, I'm going to keep it within the NFC North and go with Green Bay.
All right. Green Bay Packers winning the Super Bowl. So Bears fans, you know that Adam Hoge clearly hates the Bears and loves the Packers.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter.
At Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E. Adam, thanks for joining us.
All right. See you guys.
All right. So Arthur, kind of segue a little bit into the NFL. Before we get there, I didn't ask you earlier for your most overblown story of the offseason.
Wow. As it relates to the Bears, I think there was a lot of talk early on with regard to can Alshon Jeffrey be a number one wide receiver. It's not overblown because it's a valid question, and in the early returns of him just dominating every day in Bourbonnais were very promising, but I think it's more fair to wonder right now if he can be a healthy, available wide receiver for the Bears. So obviously that question is kind of in the rearview mirror. But, I'll take a little bit of a cop-out on the NFL on a little broader scope. I think the Deflategate story is absolutely ridiculous. I think if you talk to most players, they don't really care about it. They think that all quarterbacks have their personal preference with regard to how they want their footballs inflated to a certain level. So I just think it's been blown so far out of proportion. I think it's become a witch hunt and a huge distraction from a lot of the good things going on in the NFL right now. So I will be very anxious for that to finally be resolved. But I will say I stopped paying attention to the whole situation for the most part long ago. What about you?
Well, I've said several times it is literally the dumbest controversy in proportion to how much has been talked about I've ever experienced covering the NFL, which is now my sixth season. So not that many, but enough. It is so stupid. I'll never understand why Roger Goodell did what he did. I'm not saying Tom Brady didn't, illegally deflate the footballs, but it's so dumb. It's mind numbing. But I also think, like I said to Kyle, I don't think it was necessarily over covered because it's Tom Brady and it's such a unique storyline. But yeah, as I said to the Bears, like I kind of thought everyone every week talking about Kyle Long moving a tackle, I just thought that was being over talked about. And then they don't have a really good option right tackle right now. So who knows that, That could be what happens next. So right now, as I said, we're kind of segueing. We're going to finish the show shortly talking about NFL, NFC North. Arthur covers the NFC North for USA Today, so we'll get his take on the Packers and Vikings and Lions, make our Super Bowl picks. But first, my interview with Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports. All right, joining us right now on our Chevy Trucks digital hotline, very excited to bring this guy in, is my former coworker from our Pro Football Weekly days, Eric Edholm of Yahoo Sports, Shutdown Corner Block, also at 120 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great. I do remember those days.
those were the days. They were days that were had. Let's talk Bears. Let's talk some NFL. And you know, Eric covers the whole league. He's done it for a while, and he also lives in the Chicago area. So if he's ever in the radio and listening to local radio, he has a pretty good sense of Bears fans. So Eric, is there anything from your angle, knowing the league, knowing the division, that you can give Bears fans anything positive to think about at this point?
Let me dig into my bag of tricks here. I mean, I it's so funny because, like, at least there's a major weakness with each of the other three teams. You know, you sit there saying, okay, no Jordy Nelson in Green Bay. Is the defense that great? You know, the offensive line depth is somewhat shaky. You know, Detroit Lions, boy, they lose both their D tackles, and I'm not convinced that secondary is anything special, things like that. Their old line still get figured out. Minnesota, hey, you know, I know they're sort of the sheep pick and all that. Peterson's back. Bridgewater takes another step. And you know, they still haven't, you know, I mean, even with good preseason performance, you know, we still haven't seen it yet. So, you know, there's at least that. If you look everywhere else, they've got problems too. But I am concerned for Chicago. I don't know that the Bears have a great team right now. I know the early schedule is rough. You know, you sandwich some tough games around that Raider contest, and you say 1-4, maybe, you know, and so there is a little bit of worry from my angle. And, you know, when you see them not being able to use some of these players who fit a 4-3 defense in the scheme they're running, you know, it's always going to be a little bit awkward and a little bit tricky when you switch defensive schemes, so there's that. And then there is the question of Alshon's health and Cutler's status and the offensive line. So I just have more questions with the Bears than I do with any of the other three teams in the division.
What's your take on the power of a coaching staff? I know here in Chicago, all you hear about is the magic of Joe Maddon in baseball. And I think a lot of people would argue that an NFL coach has more of an impact on a team's results. So you look at the Bears staff, you got Fox, you have Fangio, you have Gase. I mean, you really couldn't ask for a better staff considering who was available. But, I mean, is that worth a win when you consider the Bears' personnel issues at that point? How much do you weigh that when you think about a team?
Yeah, it's a great question. I know Cubs fans are saying, hey, how many wins has Joe Maddon delivered us, right? 8-10, whatever the number is. You know, how much better are we because of him? How, you know, bring the whole thing together. And John Fox is an accomplished coach. Throughout that one awful season in Carolina, really, when he had no quarterback and there were injuries elsewhere and Peppers wasn't motivated and things like that, you say, his record's pretty darn good. And that said, you know, he didn't end the way he'd hoped in Denver and, you know, been to two Super Bowls and lost. I still think he's a good head coach, maybe a little stuck in his ways in some regards. Fangio, even though, you know, you do have to let go of some football players who don't fit his system, in time, it's going to look real good. I mean, they're starting to put things together where you say, all right, I see the framework of a good defense. Maybe not this year, but soon. Adam Gase, very young, a beautiful mind offensively, very well regarded around the league. Was a little surprised his options were not a little more broad than they were. I'm not saying Chicago was a bad destination, but I thought he might get some other opportunities. But you get those three, have a good staff behind them. Right. At some point, that the law of good coaching is going to overtake and win them a game, but maybe they, on paper, shouldn't.
I'm going to go another philosophy question with you, because I know you were a philosophy major at Mizzou, right?
Major, minor, spent 17 years studying it in overseas.
You study under Aristotle, if I remember correctly.
Briefly.
The philosophy question I have for you is the idea of rebuilding, because I think a lot of folks in Chicago, some of the talking heads, just like, you know, who cares about this year? Move on to next year. Let them bottom out. Get a number one pick. Get a quarterback. You know, this is a rebuilding team. I don't believe you can really, especially when you're the Bears, I don't believe you can really say – they'll never say they're rebuilding. I don't even think you can rebuild when you spend money on Pernell McPhee, Antrell Roll. In football, you need to fill the stadium for 8 regular season games a year. I understand that this is a long-term plan, but, you know, is it – can you really rebuild in the NFL the way things work?
Yeah, I you bring up a great point, especially, yes, I mean, even, you know, with the Blackhawks winning and with the Cubs winning and things like that. I mean, the Bears are still the biggest thing going in Chicago. I've always argued that not even a Cubs World Series, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think the Bears are the biggest thing in Chicago. And so, yeah, you have to keep the fans excited. I know there's maybe not that same level of excitement we normally have in August, September here in this area for the team. But, yeah, I've always said, too, you don't win by losing. I mean, you know, the teams that continually pick in the bottom five tend to stay there. I mean, yeah, you love those great talented players. You love picking at the top of rounds and get better options every time you do choose. But winning becomes a habit on some level. And you know, there are teams out there that do exceed their talent, that have a synergy about them that is tied to good effort, good coaching, good depth, things like that. You don't necessarily need elite players to make it happen. So, yeah, I don't believe you tank and then all of a sudden, okay, now let's turn it on. Let's turn the Jets on after we had a miserable season last year. You create winning cultures, and I think that's part of it.
And it's a good segue because I've gone about 5 minutes and I haven't asked you about Jay Cutler, which I'm contractually obligated to ask you about him on an interview. And, you know, I've always been in the belief of say what you will about Jay Cutler, and there's plenty you can say. You know, who else were the Bears going to get that would make up for the cap hit they would have had to take if they gave up on him? And if he has a fine season, you know, not terrible, but, you know, good, they're going to have the same conundrum next year. And as much as people talk up Hackenberg and Connor Cook and Kessler, none of those guys really excite me as a franchise quarterback. So where do you stand with Jay Cutler and his future with this team and, you know, how much rides on what he can do this season?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm fascinated, but at the same time, I mean, he's been under a number of different OCs, been in different situations with different, you know, 3 different head coaches now, and we sort of get the same results over and over again, you know, and you know, not to go all Einstein on us here, but I mean, we're starting to learn our lesson here that there's some real limitations to what Jay can do, and it has less to do with physical talent, more to do with some stubbornness and some execution things, and some being too in love with his physical skills at times, and yet I guess I've been moderately impressed with what he's done in the preseason, all things considered. And so, yeah, it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't things where they'd be terrible without him. He gives you a chance to win some games, and he's by far the best they have. And the financial, you know, concern is going to get big next year. I know that. You know, they essentially committed to him next year by picking him up this year. So, yeah, I don't know what other direction they go. I think a first-round pick quarterback is a possibility if the right guy is there. There's so much to happen between now and then. Cardale Jones, Jared Goff, a couple other names to throw in the mix there. But, I mean, boy, we're not guaranteed those guys are elite prospects yet. And so, yeah, I think that's a yet-to-be-determined answer. But we also, like we just sort of said, there's not too much excitement for the future beyond maybe this year or next.
And then what will be really exciting, Eric, is if, you know, Adam Gase has a good year, he moves on somewhere else, they keep Jay Cutler, new offensive coordinator, we could have another whole summer of a narrative of, is this offensive coordinator that unlocks Jay Cutler? All right, I'm going to go rapid fire with you a couple NFL questions because you do cover the NFL for Yahoo Sports.
Sure.
Shutdown Corner. This is Eric Edholm, by the way. You could also see him on 120 Sports. Eric, who is a team that no one's talking about that you think could make a run?
Kansas City Chiefs, baby. I really think this is a special year for them. I know everyone's, oh, Alex Smith, you know. But if that offensive line comes together, I think they have the defense to be really good. Second fewest points allowed last year. They beat both Super Bowl teams. I mean, you know, we saw elements of it last year. That awful week one loss really kind of put them in the hole. It was the Tennessee Titans. It was miserable doing it. But they played pretty good football for the most part after that. Beat some very, very good teams. And, yeah, you've got Denver to deal with. Yes, San Diego could be good again. But I really think Kansas City Chiefs, even if they get in as a wild card, that could be a team to really keep an eye on.
And I, hopefully my friends are not listening to this, but I plan on drafting Travis Kelce in some fantasy leagues.
He might be your third, fantasy tight end behind Gronk and Graham. I love him.
Yeah. All right. The story besides Deflategate that you are so sick of at this point.
Well, we talked Cutler. Let's see. Deflategate's been pretty bad. Goodness. I'm sure there's something that I've sort of mentally put a block on that I I mean, I talk about these things or write about them every day in some way, but I might have to circle back on that one. I'll come up with a good one.
All right, and then who do you think has the best beard in the NFL?
Ooh, good one. Best beard in the NFL. Well, if you guys have a minute and you care to indulge me, read my story on Brian Stork of the New England Patriots. I was at Media Day at the Super Bowl last year, and I thought there was about a 50% chance he was going to murder me on the site. He just didn't like my line of questioning. But I have to say, hair-wise, beard-wise, he was pretty strong. I think he and Eric Weddle are my two favorites right now.
All right, those are good. The Bears pick of the day is Lumberjack Matt Slauson, who can compete with the best.
Pretty good right there, yep.
All right, last question for you, Double E, your Super Bowl pick.
I actually did pick the Kansas City Chiefs to make it, if you can believe it. I've got the Green Bay Packers and Kansas City Chiefs, and yeah, maybe I'm sort of tying together the storylines, Smith and Rogers, the 2005 guys ending up in Santa Clara. Okay, it's a little too poetic, it's a little too writerish of me to do that, but I think this is a wide-open AFC field. So I said, if there's ever a year, last year I picked chalk, I said Patriots over Seahawks, first time I've ever gotten a writer, at least recent memory. This year, I'm going to pick one shock, and I'm going to pick one team in the AFC that I think that could surprise some people. So that's why I'm going Kansas City. I feel like they may be sleeping on, or people may be sleeping on them a little bit.
All right, you heard it here first. Eric Edholm says Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Maybe it'll be better than when Hub Arkish picked the Chiefs to go to Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And he still hasn't let him, anyone, or no one's really let him live that one down. Eric, thanks so much for the time. Remember, guys, you can follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Thanks again.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks again to Eric Edholm picking the Chiefs. And Arthur, I think that makes it now four times in the podcast that I've made fun of Hub. So
just to provide a little bit of background there, I do believe it was the 2-14 Chiefs season
correct.
That they followed up with Hub's Super Bowl prediction. So he deserves every bit of it there. But yeah, certainly picking up on a theme here. And Lord knows I haven't given Hub enough crap in 33 years. So this is another awesome opportunity with this new podcast. I'm looking forward to it.
Perfect. So we could have a quota each week of how many times to make fun of Hub. I promise next week we won't talk about beards. We'll pick something else. But speaking of Hub Arkish, and we're going to talk NFL in a second, I want to go back to Hub's take to get his predictions for the 2015 NFL season.
All righty, fellas, predictions. You know what they say about predictions. They're kind of like rear ends, and they're only good for two things. But we like to do it anyway to have a little bit of fun, so I'll roll through them pretty quick. In the AFC East, I still think it's the Patriots. I think the Miami Dolphins can be a wild card team. The NFC North, kind of have to go with the Ravens, more on the strength of John Harbaugh than anything else. Don't trust the Bengals. The Steelers just don't have enough on defense right now. In the South, it's all Indianapolis, although Houston could contend for a wild card spot. In the West, I like Kansas City. I think they're better than people realize with Denver. Either Denver or Houston probably gets that second wild card spot along with Miami. In the NFC, I'm going to go with Philadelphia in the East. I'm just not sold on the Cowboys, especially with the injuries and now suspensions on the defensive side of the football. Don't know about the running game now with who's going to play running back. In the South, another division that's tough to pick. I'm going Carolina with defense. Maybe Atlanta contends. Everybody looks for a bounce back from New Orleans. I don't see it. I don't see the talent there. I think Tampa is still going to be a woeful football team. The NFC North is the easiest for me. I like Green Bay to win it. I like the Minnesota Vikings to be a wild card in the NFC. Don't know where to put the Detroit Lions. I know the Bears are going to struggle to get out of fourth place. And in the West, it will be Seattle. I'm not as high on Arizona as I am on St. Louis. So I'm going to make St. Louis my second wild card out of the NFC along with the Minnesota Vikings. In the playoffs, I see New England eventually playing Indianapolis for the AFC title with the Colts winning this time and getting to the Super Bowl. In the NFC, I think we get a rematch. It's the Packers and the Seahawks playing for a trip to the Super Bowl. This time the Packers went out, and I think the Packers knock off the Indianapolis Colts in Super Bowl 50 at Levi Stadium in San Francisco.
Well, I hope we don't lose any listeners now that Hub is the second person on this podcast to pick the Packers to win the Super Bowl. But Arthur, I'll put you on the spot now for your pick. It's hard to go against the best quarterback in the game.
Yeah, I'm in the Packers camp on this one. I hate to be, and I hate to be in agreement with Hub here because I try and get away from that corner as much as possible. So I'm actually going to, on the spot. You had asked me for my matchup before we started rolling tape, and I had also said the Packers and the Colts, but I don't want to be on the same page as Hub. I'm going to say the Packers and the Ravens. I think that the Baltimore organization always finds a way. They don't rebuild, they reload, and I think they have one of the best coaching staff, some of the best young talent, unlike in Pittsburgh where they failed to replenish the pipeline. So we'll say Baltimore goes up against Green Bay, but I still can't get away from the Packers finding some redemption after the horror show in Seattle in the NFC Championship game last year.
Does your baby Spencer have a Super Bowl pick?
Spencer, what do you think, buddy? He's going to defer to next week. He's going to hold off on that one.
Okay, and Arthur, let's be honest. You're jumping on the Mark Trestman bandwagon out there in Baltimore.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's true, and we'll see. It's I was very surprised. It surprises anyone when Trestman landed on his feet immediately with a play-calling job, but it's kind of like I don't, for the most part, second-guess Ozzie Newsome when he lets someone get away. I know Bears fans and are certainly hoping that Pernell McPhee's the exception. He's looked like it early on, but it's kind of along the same lines. I give John Harbaugh the benefit of the doubt here. So obviously he thought the problems were deeper rooted in Jay Cutler than they were in Mark Trestman. The early indications in the preseason show that Mark Trestman now does value balance on his offense again. He's been running Justin Forsett and the rest of that backfield stable, so I'd expect that to continue behind a much better offensive line than the Bears were trotting out when they were injured last year.
I don't know. I think he's running the ball too much, and that's not a good balance either. So there's lots of ways to look at it. I picked Packers Colts back in April, and I'm still going to stick with that. A team to keep an eye on for me is Pittsburgh. That offense was really good last year, and I know they got some guys missing early on in the season. Questions in the secondary, but I would keep an eye on the Steelers. They've been there before. You know, they got Ben Roethlisberger. One other team, I guess I'll keep throwing it. I would not rule out the Patriots going back to the Super Bowl. With everything going on, it could be a really, you know, just sticking it to Roger Goodell season for the New England Patriots. They kind of thrive in those situations. All right, Arthur, that does it for our first podcast. It's in the books. It's done. A few thank yous to send out to our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Be sure and visit ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. A big thank you to our guests on today's show, Kyle Long, Adam Hogue, and Eric Edholm. Our producer today was Dan Mott, and our associate producer was John Sally. For Arthur Arkish and myself, Kevin Fishbane, everyone here at ChicagoFootball.com, make sure that you head to our website for all the best Bears news and analysis, and go ahead and download and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Maybe even give us a review, and we'll talk some Bears and preview the 2015 season and make our Bears predictions next week right here at ChicagoFootball.com.